in mind that we are looking into future history. This is the future history of the world, of the body of Christ, not of the body that's here before the Great Tribulation happens, because I'm convinced that the rapture and the catching away of the believer before this tribulation period, though, we will see a lot of troubles. But we dealt last week, but it is future history of what's going to happen on this earth before the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ. Last week, we dealt with that great wonder in chapter 12, the great wonder in heaven, the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, on her head the crown of 12 stars, ready to give birth, and all of that. And this week, we're going to talk about Antichrist and the false prophet, two separate people. And the devil's in there, too. Of course, he's always in the mix here. And we're going to talk just a little bit about 666, this mark of the beast. There's a lot of talk about that. You know, if they're buying a house and they find out that's the number of the house, they won't buy it. You know, it's just a number. It's just a number. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon, you know what? I'm going to read the whole chapter first. And then we'll break it apart a verse at a time. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a great beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Blasphemy, speaking against the truth of God. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him great power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let me read verse 8 again. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives many that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. So, going back to verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So we see a beast rising up from the sea of humanity. We're called a sea of humanity. He's got seven heads, each head speaking blasphemy. And it says here that the dragon, when we see the word the dragon, he's referring to Satan himself. He's going to stand on the shore of this mass of humanity, if you will, and he'll inhabit the beast, the Antichrist. Now, John spoke back in 1 John 2:18 of many antichrists. He says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists, or those against Christ, but not the antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. So this is not John was speaking of the antichrist and antichrists, but antichrists are anyone opposed to Christ, and anything that takes us our focus off of Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation 13, this here speaks of the Antichrist, the big guy, the Antichrist, demon-possessed, rising up from this massive humanity, this sea of wickedness in humanity that's present after the church is removed. This is after the rapture of the church. The same sea spoken of in Isaiah 57:20. If you take notes, Isaiah 57:20 is a good reference. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. He's speaking of that sea of humanity, the world, you know, all that's in it. And the seven heads, they seem to have a double meaning. The first would be that there are seven world governments. Remember Daniel, we just read Daniel chapter 7. I want to reread verse 24. Remember, this was written about 2,500 years ago. 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. That'll leave 7. Also spoken of in Revelation 17, verse 10. And, you know, when you look back over the conquerors, the societies and the armies that were able to conquer the world, this history of world conquerors, you'll see a progression of the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and the Romans. The Romans were actually the last ones to conquer the whole world. And Revelation 13 refers to this revived Roman Empire. And many think it actually speaks of today's gathering together in what's called the EU, the European Union, that will be used by the Lord to bring in this Antichrist. But he's saying here that out of this revived Roman Empire will spring out 10 leaders of 10 governments in the last days. So that's part of it. Now, there's another meaning that he speaks of seven hills. In Revelation 17:9, it says, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, or seven hills, on which the woman sits. Now, this points to the city of Rome, which sits on seven hills. It's where the world religion will be located, in Rome. If that gives you any idea, during this great tribulation period, it's a city that sits on seven hills. The 10 horns, 10 rulers who will reign with Antichrist during this tribulation period. Revelation 17:12 says, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So this seventh world government here, revived Roman Empire, will be run by the Antichrist, and his world government will be divided with 10 crowns or 10 rulers, 10 areas, and each will have its own ruler. It's interesting if you look on some global maps and how they divide up the world into different groupings. But the 10 horns associates this beast with the beast of Daniel 7, verse 7, representing the final world empire of the Antichrist. And the one that the Messiah ultimately will conquer. But it says in Daniel 7:7, after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So in Daniel's vision, the 10 horns represented 10 kingdoms of the end times that the Antichrist will rule over. John's 10 crowns in the 10 horns here emphasize the same idea. And so, as I said, some think that this is in process right now as the European Union draws together, coming together that way, and the United Nations also will probably be used in some fashion here. Verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." The beast, the Antichrist, the dragon, Satan himself. The Antichrist here, he says, it'll have power and authority. It'll be swift. It'll have the strength of a predatory animal. A beast like a leopard, a bear, a lion, fast, strong, predatory, getting power from the dragon, Satan himself. Daniel had a dream about a lion, a bear, and a leopard in Daniel chapter 7. And his dream prophesied the coming of a succession of world empires, the lion being the Babylonians, the bear being the Medo-Persians, the leopard being the Grecians, and that happened. And I've already read this again, but let me read it again. Daniel 7:7. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Fourth beast here, Romans, the Roman Empire. Now, verse 2 here speaks of this world power of the Antichrist and his armies with the strength of these animals. The lion that devours whatever it desires, the bear having great crushing power, the leopard, very predatory, very quick to leap, very quick to conquer, and this beast being the revised Roman Empire under the Antichrist with his power and authority coming from Satan. While Jesus was the incarnation of God on earth, the Antichrist will be the incarnation, in a sense, in human form, of the devil on earth, Satan on earth. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 speaks of this. It says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." So the kind of attributes that you might expect from the Antichrist: he'll be cruel, he'll be deceitful, he'll be a liar, he'll be treacherous, he'll be bloodthirsty. He'll be really pretty disgusting, be certainly untrustworthy, a covenant breaker, and very contemptible in the eyes of most people. But today, we see the beginnings now of a one-world army under a one-world government, as the United Nations has its own army. And if you can imagine being an American serving in a United Nations army and being asked to invade an area of your own country where you grew up, for example, you can imagine the conflict that will go on. Just a thought. Verse 3, "And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Speaks of the beast here. So the beast is speaking of the Antichrist. "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So it says here the beast gets wounded. That means the Antichrist suffers a wound, a mortal wound to the head that should kill him. This is speaking future history. If we were here to see it, we would see this sort of thing happening and go, oh, that's in Revelation 13. But his deadly wound is going to be healed. This will increase his fame. It'll increase his authority as the world is really impressed with him, and they'll give him their worship and devotion. It'll be like a Messiah rising from the dead, in a sense, and I think that's what he'll claim. And he'll lead and dominate this revived Roman Empire. And keep in mind that the Bible speaks of Antichrist and his world government interchangeably. The Antichrist will be so powerful, he will be the government. He will be the final word. And the world government will be the Antichrist. They'll kind of be as one. It will appear that he has been killed. He'll miraculously rise from the dead. and he'll show a counterfeit and imitation resurrection in an attempt to copy Christ, to make the world that believe that Antichrist can do anything that Christ can do. It'll, of course, it's a big lie, but many people will believe it. One of the most common teachings now through the New Age, through New Age philosophy, is deity within. You know, you got to connect to that God in you because you are God. It's a big lie. God is in me because his Holy Spirit is in me because I have faith in Jesus Christ. But there is no God here, not me. It's the people on earth here are going to be so impressed with this guy, with this miraculous healing. There will be Satan worship and Antichrist worship. It'll be abounding. The world will have a new superhero. They'll be encouraged to follow him. They'll be encouraged to exalt him and lift him up. They'll be encouraged to go to war and fight for him. They'll be encouraged really to do whatever he says, as this occult religion will rule the world. And remember, Satan loves to be worshipped because the root of his problem is pride, just like all of us. I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but if you boil down any sin you have to its lowest common denominator, it's pride. Me. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be what I want to be. And that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Remember Isaiah 14? I think we read this together in the last few weeks. Let me read it again. For thou hast said in thine heart, this is God speaking to Satan, this is what you said. Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's Satan's I wills. That's what got him in trouble. Not my will, not thy will be done, Lord, but my will be done. I will do all these things. And then God answers him in one verse, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So God, you know, we can say I will do this, I will do that, but God's will ultimately will get done. So this Antichrist is going to be a powerful person in charge of the world, powered by the devil himself. And people are going to say of him, who is like him? Who can defeat him? He's like invincible. How could they be so blind? You might wonder, how could they be so blind? Jesus says, if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall in a pit. You can't have the blind leading the blind. And if you have someone with a false doctrine leading someone who has no doctrine, then they're both doomed. Faith in Christ is the only answer. Verse 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So we have the world's most charismatic leaders now on the scene. He's full of himself. He, in his own eyes, at least, he's a true know-it-all. He just has, president of the world, convincing everyone of his greatness. I recently heard our president say, I'm not king. It's the first time I've ever heard a president say that he wasn't a king. Interesting that that would be said, for what it's worth. But this Antichrist, he'll give long speeches. It'll just captivate the people. Watch there are some old black and whites available of Hitler and the way he used to dominate a crowd and how he would just mesmerize people. And there was like a mass hysteria. But it says here he speaks great things and blasphemies. People don't know the difference. They don't know truth from the lie at that time. They'll be drawn by this passion that he has. And if he has that much passion, he must be right. Right? Wrong. We know that it takes more than commitment to be right. So this great tribulation period, 7 years long, divided into 2 3.5 year periods. And when the Antichrist receives this miraculous healing, the end of the tribulation period will be exactly 42 months away. It's also about the same time the Antichrist sits in the temple and declares that he is God. 2 Thessalonians, Paul, when he wrote this to the church in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he says, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, swearing himself that he is God. So here's Paul, part of this whole prophecy of the Antichrist to come. So it's a way of saying, beware to those who know the true and the living God. The Antichrist wants to be called God. He won't let any gods be before him, even the real God, even the true and the living God. He won't let him be before him. The mention of things like Jesus, the cross, redemption, salvation, faith only through Christ, that kind of thing. Salvation, it'll throw him into a rage, and he'll have the power to kill. Of worship of any god but the Antichrist at that time will bring people either prison or execution. Bad time to be alive. But it does make for an exciting novel here as a very adventure. This is more than that. This is prophecy. I don't mean to lighten it. Hollywood has tried to do it in a lot of different ways, and some more accurate than others. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. That's believers, true believers. Not those that go in and out of church necessarily, because God knows who his real body is, and he knows who are those that walk in and out of church hoping something will rub off. But it was given unto him, and that's not a bad thing, to come into church hoping something will rub off. We try to get people into church so the word of God will rub off on them, because we know it doesn't return void. But it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This world leader, the beast, will overcome the saints, it says. Doesn't mean he'll overcome their faith, but he'll destroy their property or steal it. He'll destroy their families. He'll destroy their lives. He'll appear to destroy the work of God's people, the body of Christ here on this earth, as it becomes a law to worship him. Whoever won't bow down and worship this world leader who's been resurrected from the dead will be persecuted and killed or thrown in prison. Remember Rack Shack and Benny? I don't know if you're VeggieTales fans. Do you remember Rack Shack and Benny? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were told to go in. They were thrown into a fiery furnace, and they made it back out again because God protected them. But if you can imagine a world filled with Satan worshipers, sincerely deceived, thinking they worship God. Sincerity doesn't get us there either. Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, not the rock of Peter, not because he was making him first pope, but faith in Jesus Christ. He says, upon this rock, faith in Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Those that do choose to worship him are going to pay a high price. Their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the book with the names of everyone who is truly saved, who has truly professed faith in Jesus Christ and truly has that faith in their heart. And God knows who we are. God knows who we are. And he knows who those who aren't. Who are the whosoevers and who are not the whosoevers. But those who aren't saved, who worship the Antichrist, don't have their name in this book. To worship the beast in the Antichrist means your name is not in this book. Okay? To have your name in the book means you don't and you won't worship the beast, the Antichrist. Worshipping the beast and having your name in the book of life can't both happen. They're diametrically opposed. The lights can't be on and off at the same time. You know, there's either light or darkness there. We can't do both. Because both God and Satan require our worship. Interesting thing. You can't serve both. Neither will you have any other gods before either one of them. Remember, Satan desires to kill the godly. Jesus died for the ungodly. And I'm blessed by that because I was one. All sinners he died for. Romans 5, 6, Paul said it well. He said, "For when you were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." I love that. While the Antichrist will be killing the godly. And that's happened throughout church history as the church killed the godly, oftentimes, the true Bible-believing Christians. In Matthew 25, if you want to turn to Matthew 25, verse 31, just so you can get a little movement here, get some blood flowing in your arms. You know, I know you've been sitting here a while. I have an advantage. I can't fall asleep standing on my feet. I prefer a lazy boy up here, but I know I would never survive that. This is Matthew 25:31. I want to read through 34. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." We're called sheep, so unbelievers are referred to here as goats. "And he shall set his sheep on his right hand." Isn't that where Jesus is sitting, on the right hand of God? "But the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared you for you from the foundation of the world." That's awesome. We can go back to Revelation 13 now. "The kingdom of heaven was prepared for the redeemed before the foundation of the world." God had that set aside before he even threw this universe into existence. Wow. You know, when you look at this book of Revelation, you might think, wow, looks like the immediate future of Christians here is not so great. But you know what? The long-term future is really bright, because we'll be in the presence of God, who is only light. In him there is no darkness at all. So John, 1 John 1, 5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And no matter how bad it gets here on this earth, in your personal life, or in the life, in the situation in the world, or governments, or in our government, God's still on the throne. God's still in control. We're not. And I love verse 9. "If any man have an ear, let him hear." It looks like you pretty much all have two. Yeah. I mean, there are some. I know there was a guy named Dave Reaver that I went to see one time. He was in Vietnam and had a bomb go off, or one of those incendiary things that you throw. He had it here, and it exploded and blew the side of his face off and took one ear. So Dave had, you know, plastic surgery, and he said, "You know, I learned to play by ear," and he'd take his ear off and go like this on the piano. good sense of humor. And, you know, he's, I think, 18, 19-year-old guy, freshly married, and come back from the war and said to his wife, "Dear, you know, it's okay if I'm quite a mess. It's okay if you leave me." She said, "Dave, you weren't that good looking to begin with, you know." In other words, it's your heart. You know, he had the heart. The heart of the issue is always the issue of the heart. So let's see, where was I in my notes? Oh, everyone that has ears. He said, basically, you know what? We all are given ears to hear. So listen to what God has to say. Where are you going to go for truth? Toward God, it's true. He's an all-knowing God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No one has to go through the great tribulation period. God loves everyone. He's warning everyone so we don't have to go through. It's so important to commit our lives to Christ before it's too late, to get our life, our name written in that Lamb's Book of Life, so that we can leave in that first big beam up. Referring to Star Wars, of course, you know, beam me up, Lord. And I don't mean to make light of it, because it's going to be awesome. One moment you're going to be in your body, and the next moment, will we be all going up together? Can we look over and see one another? I don't know. It says to be absent is to be present. Absent from here, present with the Lord. Don't know. But he that has an ear, let him hear. This phrase is used 5 other times in the book of Revelation. Each time it's followed by what the Spirit says to the churches. And here in 13, it just says, if any man has an ear, let him hear. There's no mention of the church. Is that because the church is gone? Is that because there actually is a rapture and a catching away of the church before the tribulation? The snatching away of believers? Worth asking. Verse 10, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. It's kind of like the Old Testament days of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, saying that your actions will bring the same thing back to you. The Antichrist is going to make war against the saints, take them captive, destroy them. But God says, listen carefully. He that kills with the sword must be killed by the sword. During the tribulation, if you're a killer, you'll be killed. Ultimately, in the second death, which is the eternal separation from God. And this is an encouragement to true believers in Jesus Christ, those who bring trouble to them during the tribulation, because there will be many people getting saved during the tribulation period. Is that, you know, who knows that you might have witnessed and shared with some friends, and they went, yeah, that sounds kind of interesting. Maybe I'll check that out sometime. And they never do. And then after everybody's gone and this whole thing starts happening, and they look around and go, oh, wow, it's really true. And they give their life to Christ. During that period of time, many will come to Christ and many will be killed. And but those who do the killing will also die by the sword. If not, you know, remember, the word of God is like a two-edged sword, and the word of God will ultimately go out and strike them. And the law here applies to believers here. The bottom line is believe in the Lord, trust in Jesus, and be ready for his coming. But the Old Testament law did say if you kill someone, you'd be put to death. And that worked for Israel for centuries. It taught people to value human life, and there were few murderers. America was founded on biblical principles for a long time, and there were actually few violent crimes. But things have changed. Murder has increased. Time served has decreased. There's in not always, but in many ways, there's a lack of justice because people can buy their way out of bad situations. And again, all I have to do is say, OJ, and, you know, he is serving now. But, you know, we know lack of justice won't last forever. God will do what society won't do and mete justice out on those that deserve it. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, a beast with horns like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon, spoke like the devil. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And remember now, we're doing a future history lesson. If you're in Christ, no fear. John sees the second beast here. It's actually a false prophet. The first beast comes out of the sea. The second beast, this beast, comes out of the earth, from the earth, from people of the earth. The sea being a symbol of the sea of humanity, the earth being a symbol, actually, of the land of Israel, in many cases. First beast will have 10, beast will have 10 horns, and the second will have 2. But lambs don't have horns. Except for his 2 horns, this second beast looks like a lamb. It seems like he's trying to imitate the Lamb of God. But he's really a wolf in sheep's clothing. And if you have ever taken, I just saw recently a picture of, maybe it was on the video we saw last Wednesday, of a wolf with a sheep over it, with the nose, you know, the big wolf nose and the paws coming down, the black tail coming up in the back. You can see it. But he's going to try to imitate the Lamb of God. But he will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And how do you know you have a wolf amongst you? Sheep disappear. You know, and he'll talk about loving, and he'll talk about accepting, and he'll talk about diversity, and he'll talk about gender equality. He'll talk about tolerance. And, of course, all those Bible-believing people, they're just intolerant. He'll condemn racism. He'll condemn sexism. He'll condemn poverty and intolerance and all forms of discrimination. And underneath, he's a deceiver. Almost anything will be allowed in this time except the Bible, the Word of God, and Christianity, speaking about Jesus. This second beast here, the false prophet, will have authority like the Antichrist. Be really powerful. But he won't exalt himself. He'll just point to the Antichrist. Like kind of like John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, you know. So he has this counterfeit up here, And he's going to try to mix politics and religion together. He'll promote a world government, a world religion, and he'll try to force everyone to worship the Antichrist. And you can herd people together, you can threaten, but if the truth is in your heart, nobody can take that away from you. They can incarcerate you, they can beat you, they can shoot you, but if the word of God is truly in your heart, they can never take that away. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, never let you out of my hand. He's got us forever. Verse 13, let's keep going here. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So this false prophet here, he's going to be impressive. You know, can you imagine if you went, watch this, bring fire out of heaven while other people watch? It'll cause a lot of people to believe he's from God. After all, he can perform miracles. This must be from God, because many people are impressed with signs and wonders. And it says he'll set up this statue, this image of Antichrist, and order his followers to honor it, which they'll gladly do. And he'll remind them of Antichrist's wound, his near death, his healing, and his resurrection. He'll claim to be a healer for healing the Antichrist mortal wound here. In verse 15, he says, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This statue or image that the false prophet sets up here, he says, it'll have a life of its own. It'll look like it comes to life. You know, a statue walking around. If you've, I know up in Faneuil Park in Boston, you can catch a lot of that stuff. And Hyde Park in England, probably, where these people go, you know, and they paint themselves up and they'll look like a statue, and then you come up and they'll move, scare the kids. But it might sound a little strange that he'd be able to make a statue look like it moved. In John's age, there was no computer graphics. You couldn't take a file and change it. Our daughter just sent us a little dancing elves thing with our grandkids' faces in them. You can now put other people's faces in, you know, other people's bodies on them, and you can do all kinds of special graphics here. Today, you know, with satellites, satellite imagery, computer graphics, it's not hard to imagine. This morning when I got done with my study in Revelation 13, I sent it to the cloud, you know, the server, picked up my phone, hit my phone, opened that same cloud location up, and there it was on my phone. Boom, boom, just like that. And images of whether they're true or false can go all around the world in a moment. Those of you who work with computers know what I'm talking about. You can have a pad, an iPad, a computer at home, a phone, and you just hit one thing, sync it or transfer it over. It syncs up to all your devices, and you can walk over and open it up, and there it is. I could walk out to my car and read off the notes to my Bible study as long as the signal worked out there. I could sit outside of Panera. I'd rather be inside of Panera, but I could, you know. Wegmans. But just the idea that the world will be able to see this, to computerize a statue, an image, not hard at all. A talking head, not a problem. But it's just that reminder that the Antichrist was once dead and now he's alive again. And it's a reminder, as it announces, that all who refuse to worship him will face death. This is the one who came as a lamb. And if you didn't notice his two horns, but this is the symbology here, the lamb with horns. But it reveals his true nature. That's why he's called the false prophet. A prophet, a person who has a gift of prophecy, should be speaking the truth of God's word. Prophecy can be either future speaking and telling us some incident in the future, or truth speaking God has given me the gift of prophecy, which means truth speaking, God's word, to pour it out, to pour it through me and out again. But this religious pretender, he's willing to break God's laws instead of enforcing and bringing forth and speaking the truth of God's word as found in the Bible. The false prophet will do all that he can to set the Bible aside. He'll do signs and wonders, do miraculous things, and show powers that would deceive the people around. And we need to be careful, even in our time, that we watch for things like that as this ability to change images gets more advanced and more sophisticated, that we don't let things fool us and take us away from the truth of God's word, and we can compare things to the word of God and pray and open up the word of God, and he will show us truth. And it gets increasingly important as the end times approach, because we may not go through the tribulation period, but already you can see Christianity being squashed. The Bible has already been taken out of our classrooms, our government. Satan knows the Bible. He knows the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, I'm just going to read Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We know that there will come a time when believers and unbelievers will bow their knee to God, but it's just before judgment. We who have faith in Christ will go into glory. Those who don't, go into hell. And he's doing this, Antichrist will be doing all he can to keep many from faith in Christ. And I have to say that today he's doing a pretty good job of it. We've been going through a whole series of videos on every other Wednesday night dealing with this New Age philosophy and the way that the devil has been deceiving people, and the regular people on the street, how deceived they can be. Verse 16 and 17, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their head or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. So I'll stop right there. The job of the false prophet, it's to build up the image of the Antichrist, to get everyone to worship the Antichrist, to get everyone to take the mark of the beast. And people who take the mark, it will be in one of two places, in the forehead, in the hand. Computer chips exist today that can go down a hypodermic needle. They can just, and it's in, and they'll know wherever you are. It's actually been around for quite a while. I was just watching a video yesterday of Google Wallet. I'm not saying it has anything to do with the Antichrist, but you can take your phone or your little pad, your computer pad, you buy something in a store, you do your shopping on the device, and then you just, like that, you tap the register, and it takes all the money out, it takes whatever it needs, it does the transaction right there. No money needed. Ever wonder, where's the money? Is it just electrons? Is all it is saying you have something, and it just transfers 50 units that way, 50 units that way? It's interesting. I find it interesting. But they can put a chip under your skin already that'll have all the necessary info so that you just put your head up and scan that, or put your hand down like that in the same way we do our phone with all the necessary information we need. They do it to most animals now, so if your pet runs away, you can locate him over in the next yard chasing the cat. You know, but they put them in soldiers today. The GPS, if you carry a cell phone, you can turn the GPS off, but I have a feeling that if they really want to find you, it's on. There's a little button that says it's off, but I suspect it's on. And they can triangulate where you are. They'll know where you make every call, where you are at any minute. And just as Christians are sealed by the Holy Spirit, the false prophet will seal his servants. And this mark will be needed. It'll be needed to buy and sell. Cashless society. Can't go up to the gas pump unless you, or with the forehead or the hand. Can't get medicine, can't get a loan, can't buy a car, can't buy groceries, can't fill up your tank. That would really change our life. Just the little things in the background that are going on all the time, you know, you never know how life. Yesterday our microwave fried. It just smoked up the house, and got up this morning with a cup of coffee, and I had made yesterday, and I put it in the microwave. There's no light. It's dead. It's unplugged. So, you know, you just get used to things like that. You get used to going to the bank to the bank to draw out money, ATM machines. You can't do all that. And taking the mark would be kind of like having a license or the freedom to do business. And those who don't take the mark or support the world government that will be coming will be punished. In other words, they'll be cut off. You'll have to go to friends and family to get a little bit of rice and a little bit of beans and whatever it is. But with this kind of power, the false prophet can have his way with a great control over the people. As a cashless society, certainly we can track all the buying and selling. Boy, that sounds like today, doesn't it? Think about it. I mean, we can pay our bills online. You sit in my living room with a laptop and it's done, right? Transfer those electrons over to somebody else. Well, think about it. How long could you go if you couldn't use a credit card, a debit card? How long could you go without cash if you only had to use a credit card and debit card? Pretty much forever, except for those gas stations that give you 10 cents off for cash. And the guy speaks a little bit of foreign accent in the back. How well will you do if you don't take the mark, if you don't have that chip in your forehead or in your hand, and you can't buy and sell? I don't know, just things to think about. Nothing for you to worry about if your faith is in him. Christ, that is, not the Antichrist and the false prophet that I'm speaking of. Let me finish with this last verse here. We have a cake to eat out there in the lobby today. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. He's called a wisdom. Many try to figure out who the Antichrist is. I think it'll be revealed after the rapture of the church, so why look now? You can speculate. I don't think we can know. Wisdom is needed because we don't really have all the pieces of the puzzle. We do know his name will equal 666, or 666, in some kind of an alphanumeric system, where every letter has a numeric value. And people have had a lot of fun with this. You can take different despots' names over history and plug them in and see what you get. I think there have been quite a few that actually added up to 666. But more important than that is your name written in the Book of Life? I urge everyone, go out in the rapture. Go out in that catching away. Don't be on this earth after the Christians leave. Because the world is going to look at it and say, finally, they're gone. We can do what we want to do. What bondage that is to be able to do anything that I want to do. Ooh. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's a whosoever again. I want to end with a story of betrayal. It goes like this. No treachery is worse than the betrayal by a family member or a friend. Julius Caesar knew such treachery. Among the conspirators who assassinated the Roman leader on March 15th, 44, not 1944, 44, was Marcus Junius Brutus. Caesar not only trusted Brutus, he had favored him as a son, and according to Roman historians, Caesar first resisted the onslaught of the assassins. But when he saw Brutus among them with his dagger drawn, Caesar ceased to struggle, and pulling the top of his robe over his face, asked the famous question, "You too, Brutus?" He was betrayed by someone close. The Antichrist will betray his followers. The Antichrist will deceive the whole world. Jesus Christ will never deceive you. He will never leave you. He will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Is your name in the Book of Life? Nothing could be more important for all of eternity. Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, that when you speak a thing, it must come to pass because you are the Lord. And history is his story, Jesus' story. Thank you that you've given us his story, story of death on the cross, of redemption, of reconciliation to sinners, of salvation through faith. And not just faith of faith, our faith in faith, but faith in the God who saves, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're yet to be and to do. And thank you, Lord, for the warning that you give us in this book of Revelation that we need not fear unless we're outside that ark, which is in Christ. We'll be caught in that flood of wrath as God comes down upon a God-rejecting world, Lord, for he does desire our love, and we need to give it to him. We thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I saw a great big...